Coming up on TMS, Radio Trollin'.
What not to do in Vegas.
No more pineapple on pizza.
No arms, no problem.
How long was that nail?
Is that cat hair, car hair, cat hair?
It's supposed to be cat.
Okay, cat hair in my pizza?
I put car hair. Recommendals.
Tom's Tech Time and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Would you like to go from flabby to fabulous? Then you're ready for the Shake Weight. The revolutionary new way to shape and tone arms that is shaking America by storm.
I make do with your eyeball.
As Shakespeare said, shit happens. This is the Morning Stream.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to TMS, the morning stream for the 22nd of February, 2017. It's only a few more days till we have to don't have to say the word February anymore. We can start saying
February.
We can start saying March, which is easy to say. March.
Maybe just shorten it to February. F-E-B-R-Y.
February. It's very very British. Have you been watching the Legion at all there on FX?
Yes.
Yeah.
Been enjoying that greatly.
Me too. I got a thing to say about that since you reminded me of it. The guy who plays the main dude there, Dan Stevens or something is his name.
The main dude at the in the first episode where
the brain
collar
man.
Is being held.
Yeah. The guy who's got the brain, who can make shit happen with his brain, that guy. You know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, on Legion. He,
oh, you're talking about the main guy. Like, I thought you meant the guy at the facility. Okay,
no,
yes.
Main dude. He is he's playing straight American man, but in real life he's a British man and played was the boyfriend of the or not the boyfriend, the betrothed or the husband or whatever to the one chickie on Downton Abbey there.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the one that died. In the car accident. Sorry, but listen, the 2 weeks are up, everybody. Spoilers.
I haven't seen a single episode of Downton Abbey, but Tina's probably thinking that to herself when she watches it with us. So.
Yeah, so I'm just here to say that Legion is my kind of weird, and I'm into it. I think it's great, and totally. It's not at all what I expected. I thought it was going to just be, I don't know, basic cable version of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or something. And it's not that. It's way cooler than that. So
yeah, it doesn't feel like it's certainly not a superhero movie or TV show by any stretch of the imagination yet, at least. You know, yeah. it may turn into that later, but it's
some weird mind game right now. Like I'm never sure what the hell's going on any given minute of that show so far. And I think I'm okay with it. I think I'm fine with that, you know.
And I think the thing that it does that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. failed to do is really develop the characters. Take some time, develop the characters. You don't have to rush into, it being a superhero version of CSI or whatever.
Yeah.
Just like really establish who the characters are, at least a couple of them. And
yeah, they're going deep on those.
They really are.
And it's getting real weird, and I like it a lot, and the acting's great. And I'm going to say this, it's interesting because a decent sized portion of this cast are, Fargo actors, not the movie but the TV show. So the girl Sid, the cute girl, she's from the Fargo last season of Fargo, and so is the mom from Fargo who played her mother in Fargo is now the head of the whatever that place they're at is.
Oh yes, right.
Jean Smart. That's it. I knew Jean, something like that. And they were both in Fargo, and there's a couple other actors just kind of floating around that are all from Fargo. I don't know what's going on with this Fargo connection. They're all on FX. Maybe the producer writer guy was a Fargo guy or something. I can't remember. Oh, you know what? That is what it is. The showrunner, isn't he the Fargo showrunner? Hold on.
Really?
Yeah.
It makes sense because it's FX, right? And
yeah, but
there you go. Noah Hawley.
That's the guy.
Says that it's Noah Hawley who wrote Fargo. Okay, so there's a lot of parallels there.
Yeah, like literally the guy who did it. It's kind of like when they had the cast from Mist, or The Mist, and ended up basically being
right, yes,
the cast
exactly.
of The Walking Dead season one. So it's like that. It's because you got your showrunner guy in charge. Anyway, right. It's awesome. People should be watching that. and I don't know if I have enough good things to say about it. I can't quite tell where they're going with April's character from Parks and Rec. I don't know where that's going.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah. Is she still alive? Is there like...
Oh, no. When you see her, she's...
I don't know, dude.
She's purely living in... I don't know. In Holler's head.
I'm not sure, though. Here's why I'm not sure. Because she's too big of an actress in this context to just have as a ghost. I think she's going to be more than that.
Well, you're familiar with Legion and his powers, right?
No.
Okay, so he's got these voices in his head aren't just voices. They are the embodiments of people that he, I guess, have died in his life. Whether, I don't know if it's by his hand or if he just absorbs the souls of the people who die in his life. So he absorbs their personalities, their appearances, and if they have powers, he absorbs their powers and has them as well.
Oh, wow.
And so I think that's what we're seeing with Aubrey Plaza, is that she's in his head. She's okay. Living now in his head.
Yeah, I really like her part, and I like what he does to Kitchens. He gives Kitchens a real hard time in this show. So if you're looking for some kitchen destruction, boy, have I got a show for you.
That's such a cool effect. I love that that moving camera deal. God, it goes all the way back to that Levi's commercial or Dockers commercial that they did with the Flip Flop and Fly by Brian Setzer in the early 90s.
Oh, yeah.
Where it was like bullet time, and you had the people who were dancing and doing the swing dancing, and then they'd hop up in the air and the camera would go.
Roop. Yep, I love that.
Yeah,
it's really cool. Really well done. So if you aren't watching that, you should watch it now. Some people are saying, well, Scott, I thought you were an unplugger. How are you watching it? I bought the season on Amazon for like $14. So cheap.
I have it on PlayStation View.
Oh, that'll work too.
Yeah.
I have PlayStation View, but I'm lame and I wanted to be in bed on my iPad for this.
Well, you can watch it on PlayStation View in bed.
Well, you'd think, Brian, but here's how it works.
Okay.
PlayStation View is a single network only service. So if you have it on multiple, if you have multiple ISPs in your home, right, you can't swap back and forth.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You can only have it on the one, or once you put it on one, you can't have it on the other.
Oh.
And so I can't have it up there because my internet from down here in the studio is blocked by my ceiling thing.
So you have different providers, and
yeah, we have like a just okay provider that comes with the HOA.
Sure.
That we get upstairs and throughout the house, and it's perfect for Kim and the kids and everything, and they just use it for all other things. But for me, I need more pipe, so I'm down here with my bigger pipe, and we've got a TV down here that I can use PlayStation View with. But when I do that, like we did for the Super Bowl.
Sure.
I can't do it upstairs.
Just connects it on the other one. Wow. Yeah,
it's lame. So
it is lame.
I want them to fix that.
So how do you do PlayStation View on the road? Can you not do that? Like if I were to travel and I want to watch Legion while I'm out somewhere.
You can't. This is the big hang up with PlayStation View. They have these advantages like really good DVR and 30 days of
really
DVR.
Good variety.
Yeah, great variety, good interface, lots of, it's on lots of devices. You don't have to just have it on your PlayStation. Of all the, apps and stuff. But if you go off network, it says, oh, sorry, you're not authorized to do it anywhere else. Like, it's weird. It must be something to do with the way they made their content deals. I don't know.
Yeah.
But it's frustrating. But then you have other services like Sling where it's all about going on different connections somewhere, but they also are limited in other ways. So, I don't know. This freaking Wild West we're in with TV shit. It's weird, man.
Totally
we're
is.
Living in a weird time. All right, I got something real funny yesterday. Dave, our friend Dave, lives in up there in Virginia.
Right.
Dave Michael, he helps run Nerdtacular. He's my shipping guy and fulfillment guy for all the store stuff and everything. He's the man. And occasionally he sends me something that cracks me up. I have to play this today.
Oh, good. Okay, can't wait to hear this.
He was in the car. And he heard this on the news. I want you to listen to this very carefully, Brian. Okay. Here's what he said. Or wait, here's what the lady said.
Cryptic messages scrawled in permanent marker cropped up at the Lincoln Memorial, the Washington Monument, and part of the World War II Memorial. The messages appeared over the President's Day weekend. Police are looking at surveillance footage on the mall. Mike Litterist, spokesman for the National Mall, says crews are working to repair the damage.
Well, today it's...
All right, now, did you catch that?
The guy's name is Mike Litterist?
Mike Litteris. Here it is again. Sure, I capped it out.
Mike Litteris.
Now listen to that very carefully.
Mike Litteris.
Okay. So he sent...
Baba Booey.
He sent that and said, I think someone's being trolled. And I thought, yeah, that sounds like somebody got handed a fake name. He did some research, and it is a guy named Mike. And then his last name is Littres. Litteris. But when you say that poor guy's name,
Mike Litteris,
it's Mike Litteris.
You'd think you'd go by Michael.
Yeah.
Right?
I would. Or hey, I got a better idea.
Yeah.
Go change your last name to something that's not crazy.
Courthouse.
Yeah, $50 courthouse, you're done. That is ridiculous. That's that guy's name.
Hi, my name is Barry Dunderhair.
Oh my gosh. So I've heard some bad names, but I think the this week's award goes to Mike Clitter or my excuse me. Mike Litteris.
Mike Litteris.
There you go. Thanks, lady. All right, so there's that. I had to get that out of the way. Brian, you
had to do this. You had to do this on a day that we're going to take calls to play Daryl, Stump Daryl.
Oh, it'll be fine. They'll all be good people, I'm sure. I'm not worried. It's still morning, so all the trolls are asleep. It's fine.
That's right.
Tell me about this. The things you don't want to do in Vegas on your Iron Man trip.
And so trivia last night, I'm talking to my buddy Don, and I'm telling him about the Iron Man trip, like, you know, all right, doing 28 hours in Vegas, no hotel room, staying up all night, blah, blah, blah. April 11th, people, for those of you wondering the date, if you want to come out there and join me. And he said, you know, I said, well, I'm planning, you know, if I get tired in the morning, I'll probably get tired like around 6 or 7 a.m. We're going to probably, you know, wrap up and I'm going to kind of go off on my own. So I need kind of someplace to crash. And I was thinking, I've got all these key cards from hotels that I keep for pretty much this exact reason. You know, they don't, at some places they don't swipe them. You just have to show the card and you walk right in. And,
that seems thinking, really bad security, by the way. Like, that seems like they should be swapping those out. Shouldn't those codes not work after a certain amount of time or something?
Well, it's not a code issue. They, like I said, they don't swipe the cards. Like the card, you just show your card that says, I'm staying here at the Venetian. And
who do you show it to?
Back in the pool. They have a little gate at the pool that you show your card to.
But it's the gate who it reads it, right? It's not like a person.
It's a person at the gate.
Oh, okay, all right. I'm thinking of something
electronic. Really, they're there mostly to check your bag and make sure that you're not trying to smuggle in alcohol or glass or whatever.
Yeah, well, that makes sense.
So
they'll let you in when you do that. That's interesting.
They let you in. Yep.
All right.
And so I was thinking, all right, I'll just find a nice lawn chair, preferably in the shade, because if I fall asleep, last thing I want to do is wake up and look like a piece of bacon. And then I can just kind of doze off for a couple hours and refresh and be ready for the rest of the day, which is kind of what I do in Vegas, even when I do have a hotel room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Stay out late and then go to the pool the next morning and refresh.
Sure.
Well, Don suggested, well, why don't you do this? There's that movie theater right by the MGM Grand. Just pick a movie, pay $8, and doze off in there.
Oh.
And I said, yeah, okay, let me paint you a little picture here. I snore like a freaking wild animal. How ironic would it be that the guy who went on television in Denver, Colorado, yeah, goes to a theater in Las Vegas and snores so loud in the theater that everybody around him is irritated to hell?
Yeah, it would be, you'd be, yeah, you'd be in direct competition with your own notion about moviegoers,
exactly.
Right?
Wow. Be the worst thing. I wouldn't be Brian Abbott moviegoer. I'd be stripped of my title of Brian Abbott moviegoer.
Well, you'd have to go to some showing of a movie that nobody's seeing anymore, like no one cares anymore. Like,
yeah, that's what I thought. And I was like, you know what? But even if one person shows up, that's one person I'm irritating.
Yeah, that's true. And you don't want to go to your grave with that on your conscience.
No,
I understand.
Exactly.
Completely.
So I need to go somewhere where nobody else is or nobody will be irritated or disturbed. I think I'll just go to Circus. Ba-da-da-da-da-da.
Nicely done. Now you'll have access to all the things at Circus. It won't just be the movie. You can have full access to. So let me just head scratch on this for a second.
Sure.
How is it that these hotels don't swap out these cards? Like, to me, that seems like a security risk for anybody anywhere to just have a card and be able to go to the pool and go, yeah, I'm, you know, staying here, and they just let you in. That just seems weird.
Like, yeah, but I mean, what are you going to do at the pool that you couldn't do if you were going to be destructive or vandalous or, you know, or whatever, you could do that in the casino. You could do that in the hotel. You could do that in all the places that you get public access to anyway.
What if your goal was to get into a pool and rub up against ladies or something weird like that? Like,
well,
what
you could do that at the casino. Yeah. And then probably, at least at the pool, they'll swim away from you. If they're if they're sitting there playing 5X Diamond Life Goldfish and they've got $18 in the machine, they're probably going to stay there for the entire time and not run away.
What if you're
at least as long as it takes them to cash out?
Well, what if your thing, what if your big kink is you like to go into the deep end of the pool and just pee for a long time, just pee, and then you get, and then you leave. Like you
again,
just go pool to pool.
You can do that with a card or without a card. You can do that as a guest. I mean, basically, there's they have security at the pool to make sure no one's being douchey.
Yeah,
and they're going to stop that whether you're a guest of the hotel or not a guest. It's like, well, no, we swiped his card. He's a guest of the hotel. He's perfectly fine laying a dookie in the hot tub.
Yeah. Well, what if, okay, but what if it seems like it'd be in the hotel's interest to only encourage actual guests to be there? Or do you think they look at the long view and say, well, if they're coming here, at least they're coming here. And maybe that means next time they'll actually pay to stay here. You know what I mean?
Yeah, okay. Maybe. Okay. And some pools, some of the pools actually allow you to buy a day pass.
Yeah.
So,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so like you can be staying at another hotel and say, "Well, I really like the really want to go to the Golden Nugget and go through the shark tank. They have a water slide that goes through a shark tank."
Oh, yeah, I've heard about that.
Fully enclosed.
Yeah, you tube. Go through it and it's like you're surrounded by water, but you're separated by a tube, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
And you can get a day pass for there. So if I, you know, if I feel like I don't even want to chance it, because as somebody pointed out, some of the hotels out there do change out their cards and it's going to be whatever show they're currently promoting. So MGM might not be really pushing Ka right now. Mm. So their current card might be go see Carrot Top at the Mandalay Bay or wherever he's at.
I was going to say, you're going to bring like a Gallagher card and some security guy's going to be like,
right, exactly.
He hasn't been here in months, so you're not allowed in here.
Donnie and Marie aren't here anymore.
Yeah. I would really like for you to report on that part of this when you're there.
Okay, yeah. Well, I'm going to document as much of this as I can.
You should put a GoPro on your head and just film everything.
Oh, well, I wasn't planning on doing that. But maybe Periscope is still around, right?
Sure.
We didn't kill Periscope yet.
No, it killed Meerkat, but then stayed. And then again, Twitter owns it. So who knows? They killed Vine. They might kill Periscope. Who knows?
Right, yeah.
All right. Well, let us know, dude, how that goes. Do. I'll be there to see part of it, I suppose.
Speaking of being douchey, though.
Yeah.
We were at trivia last night, and before everybody showed up, I went there, got there a little bit early so I could grab a bite to eat and score a table for the team because there's five of us playing and we need space.
Yeah. How many tables available? Is it how big of a facility are we talking about here?
The place we went to last night is Illegal Pete's on South Broadway, and it is, for all intents and purposes, it's a Chipotle or a Qdoba.
So you go through and I'll have these toppings and yeah.
Exactly.
Sense.
You walk down the line, you get your food, you sit at a table, and it's about the size of one of those as well. So quite a few, you know, a few tables.
What makes it illegal? Do they put a pound of heroin on your pizza or what?
Well, you know, ever since the pot law passed.
The now legal pizza.
Now formally illegal pizza. Right. Exactly. Yeah. But the place, because of its position in this kind of new up-and-coming hipster part of town, it was full of millennials. Like, I was easily one of the oldest people there,
yeah.
It felt like.
Yeah.
And it was like they just filmed an impromptu episode of Girls in this Illegal Pizza or something.
My Lord. Some millennials. That would kill me. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm certainly not going to make any stereotypes about millennials. I've got friends who are millennials, and a lot of people listening to the show are millennials, and we love them. And you know, we can't say, oh, all millennials are like this. But
right.
I did witness a table almost directly across from me where a couple people grabbed one table, and they wanted a few two tops to kind of put together to seat six people. I think they were trying to get three of them together. And they grabbed the first one. And they're slowly all kind of coming around through the line, and they're getting their food and they're getting their drinks, and they're, you know, going around this corner right next to the table. little trash can there where they're throwing their straw wrappers, whatever. And then the table is right next to it. And they sit down, they start eating. And they're like, oh, okay, grab that table. And they slide the next table over. And somebody was already sitting there. And the bus person hasn't come around to kind of clean off the table. So what they do is they take all the things that were on that table. And their table is situated right in the middle of, or right between a trash can where they threw their straw wrappers and some other clean tables that for whatever reason, it's like out of the way that they can't grab that table or something, or they already have enough tables.
Okay.
So they take all the dirty stuff left over by the people who got up and left and didn't throw away their wrappers and their empty cups and their empty bowl with their burrito scraps in there, and they move it to the clean table instead of the same distance going the other direction, just dropping it in the damn trash can.
Oh my gosh, I hate this kind of thing.
And it's like, all right, so we're taking a table that had a mess on it. And what we're doing is we're just moving that mess to another table. It's now somebody else's problem instead of the trash can that is exactly the same distance to their right. And they know about it because they all put their damn straw wrappers in there.
Now, listen, I don't think this is get off our lawn kind of stuff. This is like common human decency is what Brian's talking about. Honestly, like you,
it totally is.
I hate that kind of thing. And again, you probably find some 50-year-old doing that. I don't know. But
totally right.
But still,
I don't think it's a millennial thing, but
what a douchey McDouchey pants.
It just sat there and watched them do this, and I'm like, "That's so you could reach over. You don't even have to get up off the table. You could reach over and just drop that in the trash can."
To me, that's not all that different than like I went jogging the other day. It's been nice weather, so I've been jogging.
Yeah.
And outside, as I'm running along, I notice, oh, well, that shouldn't be a big gulp cup there. I'll pick that up. Oh, there shouldn't be a burrito wrapper here. I'll pick that up, and I start to notice how much litter there is. It's not a ton. It's not like we're covered in it or something.
Right.
But I'm like, who thought a mere 10 feet away from a garbage can that the putting your freaking nacho tray here was the way to live?
Right.
I just want to I want to wring people's necks when they do that.
Oh, yeah. No, every once in a while we'll get up and be heading out of our neighborhood, and there'll be like a pile of Taco Bell wrappers and bag and everything like that. It's just sitting on the ground. Like somebody said, well, don't eat my Taco Bell, but I don't want this in my car. That'd be gross. So I'm going to set it here on the ground and drive away.
Somebody else's problem. Like, I hate that. Ugh. And I know you can get too far the other direction, but I just think, man, pick up your shit and put it in the trash or take care of it. Take care of your space, man. That's all we're saying. That's all we're asking. By the way, the Pew Research Center, you know, they're kind of a reputable organization.
Yeah, sure.
This is how they have defined millennials. We finally have a definition.
Okay.
Millennials, whom we define as those ages 18 to 34 in 2015, now number 75.4 million. That surpasses the previous record-holding generation, which was the baby boomers at 74.9 million. That group is age 51 to 40 or to 69. Generation X, that's me and you, are projected to pass the boomers by population in 2028. So we will probably beat the boomers as well. But the millennials are currently in the lead.
Jeez.
Yeah.
And they're
leaving shit on other tables that shouldn't be.
Right?
Yeah.
The rest of us are just going to die off while the millennials take over the world.
That's right. And I didn't realize 18 to 34, that means I've got two. I raised two millennials because Carter's 19, Taylor's 22.
Yeah.
Whoa.
And Tristan just turned 20. Yeah.
What does that make Nick? What is Nick going to be? What are they going to call that group?
Generation Z.
Generation I don't want to do anything. I don't know what they're going to call his generation.
Millennials.
There you go. Perfect. Nailed it. All right. We're going to... I should have done this already. We're going to talk to Daryl. And here's the thing. Wednesdays and Mondays are Daryl days. They're the days where we take a little time with Daryl. And we like doing
Daryl.
Yeah, Dave.
And take a little time with you, too, you people.
Yeah, and you people. We let you call in and be a part of this, which is fun. Don't call yet because I'm not going to take your calls yet. I'll be clearing the line shortly. But that number is going to be 801-895-4724. And before we get going in it, did you see the... Because today's topic is sort of about what I'm going to tell you. Did you see that Han Solo movie still of all the people in the cockpit?
In the cockpit? Oh, my God.
How excited are you about that? I'm beyond excited about that.
Does it feel... like Woody Harrelson's, maybe slightly out of place, though.
Tiny bit, yeah.
A little bit.
I wanted to go, Mr.
I'm excited to see what they do with him in this movie. But
How's it going, Mr. Peterson?
That's what exactly. It'll be. That's all.
That's how it's going to go.
That's all I can think of right now.
All right. We're going to dive right in. Here's the theme. I got a theme. Here you go. Hey, everybody. It's Stump Daryl time, and it's brought to you by nobody. It's just a thing we do, and we have Daryl Skeels on the line. Hi, Daryl.
Hello.
Oh, hi. You answered slowly. It was like you were thinking about whether you should say hello, goodbye, like whatever. But you did fine. It's fine. It's fine in the end. Daryl's here. Also, we have a caller. Hi, who's this? Oh, is this Eric Mahler?
This is Eric.
Oh, hello. My gosh. I see your name because you called on the Skype instead of the number. That's great. Hey, I got a question for you. I think I may have private messaged you, and you may have already answered this. But does your sister live in Salt Lake City, or is she somewhere else?
No, she's here in Salt Lake, yeah.
Okay, I have to talk to you offline. I have a thing that might freak my daughter out, because my daughter worships your sister's art.
Oh, that sister. She's also in Salt Lake.
She's in Salt Lake also, okay. All right, yeah. You've got a multi-talented gaggle of Maulers living in the city.
Yeah, we're all right.
Now, how old are you right now? I'm curious if you're a millennial or not.
I am 30. You know what? It's funny. I was trying to remember today, and I'm not sure. I'm 35 or 36. So the math is hard.
So you're just over what it says. So you are just out of the millennial
I just
pack.
Missed it.
Yeah, you just missed it. You're still sort of Gen X, and so we count you as one of our own.
I'll take it, sure.
Daryl, you're a baby boomer. How's that feel?
Well, actually, I'm exactly on the border, so I don't know what I am. Oh, I guess really? I get to decide.
Yeah, you can pick. You can decide which one you want. Do you want to be a... much maligned post-war hippie douchebag, or do you want to be
the cool thing is that you can complain, like you can alternate which group you complain about, like whatever group you're not in, you can say, oh, those baby boomers always taking the closer parking spots. You'd think they could walk a little further to the Home Depot,
right, with their
and
booming.
Then you can like go the other direction and say, oh, those Generation Xers always,
they're booming in their babies and their baby booming.
Exactly.
He gets to take the parking spot and then complain about it.
That's right.
That's right, yes.
That's very well said. All right, well, we're going to get right into it. Brian's going to explain the rules. There, he'll tell you about what you could win and our topic. Brian, how's it work?
That's right. Eric, we're going to be asking Daryl a trivia question here in just a moment. Daryl's going to give his answer, and it's going to be a number. It's going to be of the numerical persuasion. Then we're going to turn to you, and all eyes will be focused upon your performance at this point. You're going to tell us whether or not the real answer is higher or lower than Daryl's guess. If you are correct today, you win a prize package that includes a 1/5 scale replica of a Back to the Future 2 hoverboard.
Whoa.
Still mint in box with its certificate of authenticity saying that it's an authentic fake.
All right.
I don't know why you need that, but you can have that.
Sure.
And a copy. Why did I open that? That was a big mistake. Now it's not mint in box anymore. And a copy of Archibald's Adventures, a downloadable Steam game.
Scheme game, yeah.
And
I like a good scheme.
Yeah, and there you go. Those are the things you can win today if you are correct.
That seems pretty good. What's our topic?
Our topic today is the aforementioned Han Solo.
Ooh, yeah. So we briefly touched on it, but that shot says three things to me. One, Woody, you look weird in that. Two, Chewbacca looking good. Everybody looks like their part. I don't know who those ladies are, but they seem fine. And then there's what's-his-name, Gambino, over there looking as... as cool as you can look as Lando.
As you can look. Oh, yes, exactly.
Lando is shit. He is awesome. He's going to be awesome. What a great freaking piece of casting that is. Anyway.
And Amelia Clark, right? Isn't that...
I don't know. Is that who that is?
Yeah, that's the woman is... One of the women is Daenerys.
Well, when she has her hair black, her normal hair, it throws me off.
Yeah, you don't recognize her as well.
Yeah, it's hard for me to notice. Anyway, that's all looking very nice. So let's get
the
right
woman.
Into
the woman in there almost looks like the gal from Two Broke Girls, but I know that's not her. It's Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
Oh, Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
Yeah, it's a strange name.
Where's Phoebe? The Waller-Bridge.
The Waller-Bridge. Check it out. All right.
Which way do you want to go? Waller-Bridge.
We're going to dive right in. Here's your question. Are you ready, Eric?
Yes.
Okay, here goes. Han Solo is one heck of a pilot, says Mike, who wrote this question. He flies around with his homie Chewbacca doing smuggling and stuff. It's my favorite store to go to in the mall, smuggling and stuff. Obi-Wan and Luke ask him to take them to Alderaan, How much do they eventually agree to pay him for his services? And I'll give you a hint. It is more than 5,000 credits, and that is the denomination, by the way. And it is less than 100,000 credits. So it is somewhere between those two numbers. What do you think?
Now, while you're thinking about this...
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, actually, I'm asking Daryl this question. Duh.
Right.
Yeah.
While you're thinking about this, we had a trivia question about this very thing last night, a trivia. The question was, in Star Wars Episode 4, do we meet Han Solo before or after the first hour of the movie is up? So basically, do you meet him after the 60-minute mark or before the 60-minute mark?
Oh, my gosh, that's a hard one. I don't know. It seems like before.
Who keeps track of that kind of thing?
I don't know.
That's nerds.
Crazy. I'd say after, or why would they ask the question?
Yeah, it does seem like it's too obvious to say before, so it probably is after to throw everybody off. Mm-hmm. But what was it?
It is, believe it or not, it is before. It's about 45 minutes into the film you meet Han Solo.
See, I would have guessed that because it just feels right.
It's a double reverse.
Yeah, it's a double reverse. That's exactly right.
That's right, exactly.
All right, so Daryl, what do you think there? That's your range. It's a lot of credits either way, but what do you think it was?
I need a 100,000-sided die so I can roll it.
That'd be a very big, almost, it would be imperceptibly round, you know? Like, if it had that many sides, it's basically round at that point. The sides would be kind of microscopic.
Okay, I don't have any, even the slightest clue.
I'll say he says them out loud. So if there's any memory of the scenes where his payment was involved, that might spring a memory.
They do a lot of negotiating too, like
a lot of haggling.
A lot of haggling. There's a higher amount that Han wants.
Yeah, he wouldn't have haggled if he was Russian though, because that would have been
imperial. We like no imperial entanglements.
Yes.
Well, that's going to cost you extra, old man.
Yeah.
I hate to go with half of the high limit, but that's what I will do.
25,000 credits?
No, 50,000.
Oh, what did I say? 100?
The high limit is 100,000.
Right, right. No, you're right. I said 100. You're right. Yeah, 50. All right. 50,000 credits. Is that your answer?
I guess.
You don't seem so sure. You seem.
I could imagine him saying that, but that doesn't mean anything because I have no clue.
Okay.
We could buy our own ship for that much.
Yeah, that's what Luke says. Let's get out of here. I'm lame. I need power converters.
50,000 credits is incorrect. Eric, is the correct answer higher or lower than 50,000 credits?
Oh, man. I can't remember exactly how many either, but it feels like that's too high. I feel like there's fewer space points he wants.
Yeah, definitely space points. Definitely space points. So you think it's fewer than the 50,000, you say?
Yeah.
All right, well, let's see if that was worth Han Solo's time or not to do it for less than that. Is it less than?
Congratulations.
It is absolutely
right. You're a winner.
Well done. It was 17,000 credits. He originally asked for 10,000 in advance, but Obi-Wan negotiates to pay him 2,000 up front and 15,000 more when they get to Alderaan.
Okay.
Yeah, we don't have to pay you. Alderaan's gone.
Yeah, it's totally gone. It's as if 50 million people were suddenly silenced, and I don't have to pay the rest of your money.
I use that same tactic when I take an Uber. I pick some place that is no longer around, right next to where I really want to go.
Yeah.
And then I say, yeah, take me to the old grain house by the fort. Yeah. And when that's no longer there, I said, oh, well, you didn't take me there. I don't have to pay, and I get out of the car.
You just get out of the car. Cancel. One-star review for that driver. Yep.
That's right.
Well done. Daryl, good job. You've helped Eric win, and the hoverboard and Archibald's Advent game, whatever it's called, is yours as well. All you got to do is send Brian an email, coverville@gmail.com. He'll get you the stuff. And you, sir, are our winner today. Well done.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah. Hooray. Thanks, man. It's always good to talk to you. We'll talk to you later. Big Eric Mahler fan. He's a good guy.
Yeah.
All right. Let's, Daryl, what's going on? How are you today? You doing good today? What's going on there with you? You doing all right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Everything's good.
All right. You seem good. You seem like you're I don't know. There's like when you do stuff with people for long enough, you can kind of get a hint from their voice what's up with them, you know. And right now, you seem kind of content. You seem pretty chill today.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's good. I don't know why I'm bringing all this up. It just seemed like something to say.
My new favorite dessert at Dairy Queen is the Daryl Chill.
Oh, the Daryl Chill. Mmm. I like it better than the Blizzard.
Netflix and Daryl and chill.
Ooh, gross. All right. So Daryl is the Trek nerd on Twitter. You can find him there and at This Week in Trek, thisweekintrek.com. He'll now play a game with us that he made up. Daryl, what is it?
I am going to read a part of a query that I have entered into YouTube. Mm-hmm. You complete the phrase and win nothing.
Okay. All right.
It's kind of fruity, isn't it?
Sorry, go ahead.
How do I breathe blank?
How do I breathe blank? How do I breathe water? Because I remember watching when I saw the Abyss. Yeah. I just thought, oh, if we could get to a place where we could just like gulp down oxygen goo, we would be in a great place. That'd be awesome.
You spent the first 9 months of your life breathing that stuff. Says Ed Harris.
Yeah, that's what Ed Harris said. That was totally Ed Harris saying that.
Yeah, totally. Nailed it.
Nailed it. That was exactly Ed Harris's voice. You did it.
How do I breathe blank?
Yeah, how do you breathe blank?
How do
blank?
I breathe and sing at the same time?
Do Google and...
All right. I like that. Breathe and sing at the same time.
It's kind of like the way Daryl does his belching singing combo, which he's not going to do right now. He is not going to do that for us.
No. Ooh. Remember that, Daryl? You did that in your car or something. Yeah, I remember that.
That's like a Nixon kind of thing.
Yeah. I'm not a crook.
Doody doody doo.
All right, great. I have so many clips of you. You know what would be fun? Hold on. We're going to have a little fun here. Just for fun, I'm going to play every Daryl clip that I have in a row. Just in a row. Okay.
Oh, geez.
They're all short, so this should be fun. Here you go.
You guys sound kind of sparkly. You complete the phrase and win nothing. Those are probably really salty, I would think. Ventor. Oh, no, wait. Oh, okay. Can you smoke at the shit. I am going to read part of a query that I've entered into Google, and I can't even talk, and you may phrase the win, and YouTube.
You run off half-spoculated.
Can I swim while I am on my period? It's kind of fruity, isn't it?
Daryl saying, blah, 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 the stream is down. Okay, now it's fine.
My logic just caved in on me. Do Google and...
Oh, shit, another stupid-ass episode.
Oh, no.
Why is that one in there? I know. because I have that listed as the wrong answer alternative for Daryl's segment. There's a whole bunch more. I'll have to go through them and find.
You know what this makes? This makes me miss the mashups people used to do for us.
Yeah, remember what's his name? Something banana or chicken little?
Freakish Lemon. Freakish Lemon used to do them. And he got busy because he's a busy, busy man. He's a busy, busy, crazy fruit.
We'll let this one go. Great, Freakish Lemon. We'll let this one go. All right. Well, Daryl, we don't know, but I think it's water. Brian thinks it's sing and dance at the same time or whatever it was. Sing and breathe. What is it?
Oh, how do I breathe and sing at the same time?
Breathe and sing.
That's a really bad one. It's never going to be anything like that.
The real number one query answer thingy is, how do I breathe Mario?
How do I breathe Mario?
How do I breathe Mario?
Is it how do I breathe?
How do I breathe without you?
Does it say how do I breathe, comma Mario question mark or
no? It's just how do I breathe Mario? It's a song by a guy named Mario.
Oh, it's nothing to do with Mario.
It sure is.
It's nothing to do with Mario. Then, like Mario the character. It's not that, right?
I wish it was.
I breathe Mario. Okay, hold on. I just need to hear this or see this. Okay, some guy named Mario. Here he is singing. 46 million views. If you recognize this song, raise your hand. So far, no hands are raised. Ew, he's like humping himself. All right, we're done with that guy. He's like getting all into himself. All right, not into it. All right, Daryl Witt, well done. You've done it. You've come and you've conquered and you've changed the world. Stay out of trouble. I can't hang up on you. Why? Okay, bye. There he goes. All right, Brian. let's see. What do we do? I don't know. What do you want to do? Let's do news. How about news?
All right.
It's the news brought to you by.
There are still close to 120,000 people out there waiting for a life-saving organ transplant. Anyone can register to be a donor at registerme.org and learn more by listening to the Gifted Life podcast. It's the nation's only podcast focused on donation and transplantation. Visit lopa.org/podcast for more information or wherever you get your podcasts.
S-s-s-s-s. I have an extra S on there. So it's interesting. How often do you ever find out that you are the only podcast in a certain topic area? I think that's amazing, actually, because it's really hard to do. If you and I right now said we should do a podcast on
cover songs, Scott.
What?
Cover songs.
Oh, on cover songs. There you go. There you go.
Only podcast on cover songs.
Are you still the only one that does it?
Yeah.
There's no other cover shows.
Not that have stuck around.
Wow. Were there some that came and went?
There are some that came and went. And
what were they called?
You know, I can't even remember. It's been a long time. Yeah. And what was it? One of them reached out to me and said, yeah, well, I tried to create a podcast that was cover songs, and people, I never even heard of yours, and people kept emailing me, said your show's not as good as cover film.
Oh, it really discouraged him.
Like, I was like, oh, I'm sorry, dude. It's like, you know, I have no problem with somebody else wanting to create a podcast in the same genre as mine. I'll even, you know, give them tips if they need to know who to pay at which agencies to get their licensing.
I had somebody get all pissed at me once for, well, they were mad because they tried to make a World of Warcraft show back in like 2009 and got the same sort of feedback saying you should listen to The Instance, it's better than your show or whatever. And I didn't have anything to do with that, but he was yelling at me as if it was my fault.
I know, that's what this other person was doing with me as well. It's like, really? I'm sorry, totally do your podcast, and if you're passionate about it, do it. What do you care if somebody compares it? And
yeah,
there's
no contest, just go do it.
Yeah, isn't that an incentive to try harder and win them over?
Yeah, do what you want to do. I never understood that, but maybe I should understand that. Maybe somebody will write in and say, Scott, this is how that thinking goes. So I'll wait for that email. Hey, look what the president of Iceland's up to. You know that guy.
Okay, what's he doing?
Well, he's you know, he's got talent, Brian.
What's the president of Iceland doing?
He's giving deals to, I don't know, the Eve people, because they make a lot of money for his country. I think they're like the biggest money-making organization in all of Iceland or something. Some weird thing like that. Anyway, he announced that he would ban pineapple as a pizza topping. So,
what?
I know that the world is full of political back and forth right now. Boy, I'm glad Iceland's dealing with the important issues. The president of Iceland, Guðni Johansson. How do you do the TH?
TH, it's got to be short for something because it's got a period. Like, it's
weird.
Short for a common middle name or something in Iceland.
Look at all the umlauts and accents and stuff in that guy's name.
It's like, how big are the keyboards in Iceland?
Yeah, it's insane.
Because I'm sure they're not sitting there saying, all right, I have to hold down the option and then hit the O and then type another O to get the... Mm-hmm. They've got to have like... Nah, they probably don't. I'm probably, you know...
You're thinking they have
probably
their own...
assuming that they have to have keys for all those. They don't.
They probably don't. Maybe they do. Hey, anyone any Icelandic listeners want to cue us in on how you guys type this weirdness? Because I'd be really curious. Like those O's with lines through them and stuff?
If the Russian keyboards have the backwards R on them...
Do they have that?
I mean, they don't sit there and have to go, I can't remember, is it Control Alt F to get that letter, or is it...
You know why they wouldn't do it that way, Brian, in Russia? Do you know why?
I totally know why.
Too much hassle.
Too much hassle.
Way too much hassle. Any chance we get to bring up the hassle, guys?
Shate QT says that he or she is from Iceland, and they don't have those on the keyboard. So do you just have to...
You have to shortcut it, like some
kind of... First they click the accent and then the O to get the O with the accent over it. Okay. What a pain in the butt. It feels like...
I don't feel like you guys should have to do that. That seems lame. Right. Let's see. I'm looking at my keyboard. So if I hit the accent, how do I do it? I can't even...
Do option O and then the O.
Oh, all right. So this is we're talking about a Mac here. So let's see. I'm going to put... Option O.
Control option or option U.
Oh, option O does have the circle or the line through the circle.
Yeah, so do an option U and then the letter U.
Okay, so option U and then U. Oh.
Option A is the A with the little circle over it.
You really have to do that?
Exactly, right? Ugh, doesn't that seem unfair to
that sucks.
Other countries?
Yeah, that sucks. Plus, you've already got big long names. You're already getting screwed. You're getting screwed twice.
Yeah, right. If you've already got a 12-letter name, now all of a sudden you're having to type 14 characters to spell that 12-letter name.
Yeah, that's jacked up.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, here's the deal. Gunoni Johansson threw a political bombshell into the national conversation today when he took sides in one of the most contentious debates of our time, the pineapple as pizza topping debate. He visited a high school in the town of Akureyri in Northern Iceland. The former... You think that was right? I probably nailed it, right?
You either pronounced that exactly right or you stepped on a Lego.
Okay. This Lego hurts. Okay. The former history professor chatted with students and teachers and visiting history class where they talked about the history of the school and told stories of former students who had left their mark on Icelandic history. The local news site Visir reports that at the end of his visit, he took questions from students. He answered questions about various personal things, including which team he rooted for in the English Premier League. Which turned out to be Manchester United. Isn't it always just your answer to say Manchester United? That's what we just say.
It totally is. Even that's what I'd say, yeah.
Manchester
U.
Do they work near a body of water, that team? Do they ever practice near one? Because I'd like to see Manchester United by the sea.
Jeez. It was a long way to go for that one.
It's like all the way around the block. He was then asked about his opinion about pineapple as a pizza topping. He answered that he fundamentally opposed putting pineapple on top of pizza and would outlaw it. Now, there's been an update to the story. The president has flip-flopped on his pineapple ban. He issued a Facebook order, people should try fish on their pizza, but he will not explicitly ban pineapple on pizza.
Weird.
Thank the Lord.
Fish. Well, I like anchovies on pizza. I'm one of those weird ones that...
But you don't want like lutefisky, like weird salt fish. No,
that's
whatever.
Really as far as I'd like to go is anchovies.
Yeah, I'm with you. Totally with you. In fact, I'm not even sure I'm with you on anchovies anymore. I used to kind of like those, but I don't think I do anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't like fishy things. I like fish that doesn't smell like fish.
Mm. You like sushi.
I like sushi. I like fresh... fresh cod does not smell like fish.
That's true. Yeah, that is the thing. If you go to a sushi restaurant and it really smells fishy, then it's probably not a very good sushi restaurant.
No. It means the fish...
The fresher the fish, the...
Yeah. It means the fish is going bad. The fish is going bad. The reason you don't want to cuddle up next to a stinky homeless guy... And nothing wrong with homeless people. But if you don't want to get all cozy up with somebody who hasn't taken a shower in 8 months, it's the same reason I don't want to eat a fish that smells like a fish.
Yeah. Sure.
Gross.
Shoddy QT, by the way, I'm curious, and you'll get to this question in about like 7 minutes when it finally catches up, but the TH period in the middle of somebody's name, what does that stand for?
Oh yeah, we need some clarification on that.
I'm curious. We'll go into the next article, but I'm sure Shoddy QT will respond.
Yeah, that's great. We have somebody listening live. Yeah. Are they in the land of Icelandic love?
I think you said I'm from Iceland, so could be... you know, someone who's moved here from Iceland, but...
I'm here in Odessa, Texas. You originally from Iceland?
Bjork kicked me out.
Bjork. Keep forgetting she's around. Woman born with arms, without arms, rather, breaks the record for the most candles lit with her feet. A Mexican woman born without arms. She had no arms. She broke this record, and she lit them all with her feet in an Italian game show. Next up, we have a lady who can light things with her feet. That's Swedish, I guess. Adriana Irene Macasas Hernandez used her feet to light 11 candles and claimed the Guinness Book of World Records for most birthday candles lit with feet in 1 minute. She did it in front of an audience in Italy's Lo Show de Record.
The Show of Record.
The Show of Record. The previous record of 7 was set by an American. Her name was Ashrita Furman, who holds multiple world records. Hernandez became proficient at completing tasks with her feet after she was born without arms. That doesn't make sense. Hold on, let me read that again. Hernandez became proficient at completing tasks with her feet after she was born without arms.
Well, yeah.
Well, before, what does that, wait, you don't have to say after. Well, what was she doing before she was born without arms? Nothing.
Well, no, you're reading too much into the chronology of that sentence. She became really good at using her feet after she was born with no arms.
Right.
But you could have said because she was born with no arms, but after is applicable as well.
I think before would have been better.
After she was born with no arms, she really learned how to use her feet to do lighting candles on birthday cakes.
Before that, you should have seen her go with those arms. I don't know. It's a bad sentence.
I know what you're saying. Yeah,
it's a bad sentence. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. Maybe because.
Yes. Thank you.
As she was born without arms.
Yeah, as or because. There are plenty of words in the English language you could use. Okay, I'm going to show a little video of this happening. Check this out.
Okay. People. All right.
Whoops. Here we go. Let me move this down. Here we go. All right. We're going to play this video. Oh, she has to light the match. She has to light one match at a time. What's happening here? Hold on. This is really annoying. Let's skip ahead. She's combing her hair. She's cute. Okay, she sits down. She holds the box of matches in one foot.
Okay.
She takes her other foot, takes a match out, strikes it on the box. Here she goes. Strike. Lights one. She has to then throw that match out. Pick up another match, strike it, light it. So she can't use the same match over and over.
She can't use the same match?
Uh-uh. This is really impressive.
That's totally unfair.
She's really cute.
She is.
Not that I thought she'd be gnarly because she has no... I don't know what bearing this has on anything by saying she's cute.
Right, look at her. She's applying makeup with her feet.
Yeah. Look at that. And it looks like... It looks like... Tony Soprano's the host somehow. I don't know what's going on. All right. Anyway, there's that.
Yeah. Hey, it was the chicken palm. Carmella. We'll bring out the next place that is going to be trying to break a world record.
I may have to watch that show again. I love that show.
Yeah. Hey, Carmella.
Carmella. Final story. We're going to skip to this one. Pizza Hut in Japan, speaking of pizza, they're bringing back its store run entirely by cats. And I didn't even know this was a thing.
Oh, they're bringing it back.
Yeah, finally, after much request.
The ASPCA tried to shut us down.
unclear why this took so long. Pizza Hut Japan is reopening its Pizza Cat store, a wholly fake location mismanaged by a team of cats that provided a wildly popular online meme in 2014. The all-feline staff excelled at looking cute, but were literally the worst at their jobs. They couldn't clean, stay awake for the job, study sales reports without eating the desk plant or deliver orders in anything resembling a timely manner. Frankly, it's hard to tell what improvements, if any, have been made this time around. But anyway, granted, they have technically had 3 years to polish up their managerial skills, which is like well over a decade in cat years. But the mountain of coupons and alarms, that alarms new hire Shinjin, suggests the new strategy might be to buy customers' loyalty. Now, I'm going to look at this page and decide whether this is dumb or not. So here we go. We got another video to show you fine people at home. Here you go. I'm gonna play this. Here's a kitty. Some sort of Chinese or Japanese video. Pizza Hut commercial. Here it is. Pizza Hut. Oh, the cats are back because look, the hats have ear holes in them. And the new employee Shinzen. Oh, he's all set. Oh, look at this. This is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. This is really bad. Like, what are we watching even? Okay, I'm gonna skip ahead. Okay, there he is, just chilling. Okay. Pizza Hut, though. All right, that's the worst thing.
That's
ever.
Great.
Sorry, everyone. I've ruined your lives with that. Hey, we're going to take a break. When we come back as Recommentals, today we talk about another Obi-Wan Kenobi in the form of Ewan McGregor, and he's going to be our topic. So come on back for that, and Tom's Tech Time after that. Before that, though, music.
That's right. By the way, we did hear back from Shoddy QT. Mm. The TH is pronounced th, like the th and thorn.
Whoa.
And it is short for Thoracius.
That's cooler than the rest of his name.
Thorlacius. Thorlacius. Thorlacius.
All right. That's very salacious, this Thorlacius.
That's fantastic.
Yeah.
I just want to be called Thorlacius.
Wow. All right.
How about a band from Scotland? Their new album, Forever Blue, is coming out at the end of March also. This is a group called the Moon Kids, formed in Dunfermline, Scotland by David Barr They've got a very psychedelic sound to them. This kind of feels like that surgence we had in the 90s of psychedelic bands like Jellyfish and that first album by the Flaming Lips and the Posies, kind of stuff like that. Mm-hmm. A lot of inspiration from bands like Super Furry Animals, Mogwai, Belle and Sebastian, and they're great. They just did an American tour in New York and Los Angeles and kind of got inspired to write some new material and make new friends like Kansas Bowling, the indie film director with just a great name.
No kidding.
Anyway, this is their brand new album, or song from their brand new album. Here is Something Spectacular.
Disney Sunday Movie. Share with the Bridges family a holiday classic for all generations.
The boys get mighty attached to that goose.
He gave you his word.
The Thanksgiving Promise.
I can definitely see why you like it.
Go f*** a refrigerator, Peckerneck. This is the morning stream.
That's awesome. I forgot about that one. Everybody, we're back. I like that. That was a joyful time music. Yeah. I liked it. I could listen to
that.
It's
a good one. It's, again, the Moon Kids. You can find them on Twitter, the Moon Kids 1. And if you want to hear more of their stuff, they're on SoundCloud, soundcloud.com/the-moon-kids.
Nice. All of that sounds like a fine idea to me.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
How about Nicole? How about her?
Okay.
What do you think about her now, right now?
I'm a fan.
You like her? Okay.
Yes. Well, then A++ would sell again.
Would sell again, exactly. Hey, it's Nicole, everybody, with a brand new camera angle today.
Hey. Yeah, I felt like I was too close.
Oh, was that the deal?
I felt like I was all up in that.
I don't know. It's very nice. Look, whatever it takes to shift things around. Hey, by the way, it was about the time that I talked to you last that I was feeling just great, and now I have a terrible cold, so I think it's your fault.
Mm. Oh, yeah. I transmitted the cold virus through the microphone here.
Through the internet. As it happens, you got to change all those microphone covers more often. Yeah.
I honestly shouldn't have showed up last week.
You were a trooper, I'll tell you that.
I feel like I'm at the infirmary with you guys.
I know. It's, you know, listen, it's February. This is the time of year. It's when you get it. It's when it happens. Brian got his early, I guess. So
I did.
Got his in and out of the way.
He'll get something else.
I'm glad you're here.
Sure I will. Yeah.
There's still time. But I'm glad you're here. Glad to have some time with you. We like to do recommendals on Wednesdays. Nicole comes on. We talk about stuff that's streaming and otherwise available to unpluggers out there who are looking for something cool. And we usually do it based on a theme or a person. And right now the person is Ewan McGregor.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all fans, I think. I think we all like Ewan McGregor. Don't watch Adam. What's it called that I tell you about?
Young Adam.
Don't watch Young Adam. If you want to see his, if you want to see his wiener, then watch it. Okay, have at it. If you're all up in that, you want to see his wiener. Chances are, not just chances, guaranteed. Ewan McGregor wiener.
Is that the only thing you could tell us from that movie? Like, do you remember the plot or anything?
I remember it being just kind of depressing and boring.
So. Tell me about the movie The Piano.
The piano with nose Leader. With broken nose guy. Oh, that movie. I thought I was thinking of The Pianist.
That's The Pianist.
Piano, yeah. All I remember is the guy from the cleaner from
We should name all of the movies with Wiener. Fisher King.
Yeah,
Wiener.
Fisher King Wiener.
Exactly. Right.
What was the one where Bruce Willis had a little shrivelly wiener in the pool? What was that one?
It's The Color of Night.
Oh yeah, that was no good. That movie.
That truly was. It was like trying to be very Hitchcockian with, oh, I can't see the color red. Yeah. Come to LA, we'll have a few laughs.
I really don't remember much about The Piano except for Harvey Keitel had his wiener out. That's all I remember. So yeah, they stick with me, these wieners.
Apparently.
all right, let's get to it. It's Ewan McGregor Day, and we're going to start with Brian, as is the tradition. Brian, you've sent me a link to play. Do you want to set this up?
Yes, this is a 1998 film. So this is between Trainspotting and Star Wars Episode One in the Ewan McGregor timeline.
Okay, well, let's see what we got here. I'll play it for you.
Now, at that time, Kurt Wilde was between management, and Brian knew this, of course, and urged Devine to pursue the situation.
And so, if in that probability an interest arose in which Brian would serve on some projects, possibly, though not exclusively, as we're taking our lead from you here, Kurt, possibly as a producer on that project, how might that scenario, purely hypothetically, how might that scenario appeal to you at this juncture?
What Jerry's trying to say is, do you want to come to London to cut a record?
Oh, yeah, cool.
Sorry. There you go. That's a good place to cut it.
All right. So, by the way, is that
Eddie Izzard?
I love Eddie Izzard.
Yes. And he's great in this, by the way.
Velvet Underground, isn't it?
That's exactly right. Yes. Velvet Underground, directed by Todd Haynes, who just most recently did Carol, that was nominated for, it earned a Best Actress nomination last year.
Yeah, for
Cate Blanchett.
Cate Blanchett, who should always win everything she's ever nominated for.
She absolutely should. Yeah. This movie also features Toni Collette in between Muriel's Wedding and The Sixth Sense. Oh. It features Christian Bale in between Newsies and American Psycho. So it's like right on the cusp of the greatness for all of these actors to like get really, really big.
Yeah.
Jonathan Rhys Meyers plays the main character, this guy named Brian Slade, who is completely modeled after David Bowie. I mean, this whole movie is basically, it's a fake biopic of David Bowie around the time that he was hanging out with Iggy Pop and Lou Reed, mm-hmm. and you know, dividing his time between London and New York and in Germany and faking his own death, which David Bowie really didn't do. But that was kind of the thing with Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders from Mars.
Sure.
This is really, really good. It's a good trippy movie that kind of, so basically Christian Bale is a writer for a newspaper that gets sent on assignment to cover the aftermath, the 10 year anniversary of Brian Slade faking his death. Okay. And everybody knew it was a hoax right afterwards. So he kind of got ostracized and fell out of the music business and people burned his albums and stuff like that. And so he was actually a fan of Brian Slade and Kurt Wilde, who's played by Ewan McGregor. And so he goes after the story to find out what really happened. And it's kind of told from the two perspectives of the current time, mm-hmm. which at the time was 1998, and then the past. So you see all these 60s and 70s people running around in disco garb and glam rock garb and stuff like that. It's a good film, and boy, if you avoided Young Adam because you didn't want to see Ewan McGregor's wiener, then you might also want to avoid this one, because during one performance at kind of like a music festival, Ewan McGregor just drops his pants, starts mooning the crowd, bends over, and then turns around and faces the crowd and starts kind of doing helicopter penis.
Penis.
It's very Iggy Pop. Yeah. That.
Total Iggy Pop, yes.
So this Jonathan Rhys Meyers, I think you called him Davis or Davies.
Oh, did I say Jonathan Rhys Davis?
Yeah, I think the guy who played Gimli was in my head.
Right, exactly. Yes.
Those who don't know, he's from the Bend It Like Beckham movie. He was in King George in the Tudors show that was on Showtime for all those years.
That's right.
And he was in the best the J.J. Abrams movie, the Tom Cruise deal. I can't think of that.
Mission Impossible 3.
Mission Impossible 3, he was in that. He was great, and he should have carried on to other Mission Impossible movies. He was one of my favorite
characters.
And I think
he's on Vikings right now, right? I don't watch Vikings, but when I was looking up... I'm not seeing Vikings on here, so maybe...
No,
not.
No, it is
maybe
Vikings. Bishop Hemud. Hemud on Vikings this year, in fact. He was also in Dracula and a bunch of other stuff. He's cool. That guy's cool.
He is cool.
Although he had kind of there was some breakdown earlier, but anyway, we don't have to talk about that.
Poor guy.
Yeah.
When you sent that clip, the little image to us, Brian,
yes.
For a minute, I thought you were referring to Hedwig and the Angry Inch. Oh, I love that movie.
There's a lot. Yeah, there's a lot of similarities there, too. Yeah. And what's kind of funny, we talked about, I don't remember even how it came up. We were talking about... A British actor faking an American accent.
Wait, I want to hear what you called that movie again.
Hedwig.
Hedwig.
Hedwig. Hey, I can't.
It's Hedwig.
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 Hedwig and the Angry Inch. Yeah.
Sonic the Hedwig.
I can't.
I'm sorry, I had to just.
But we were talking earlier about the guy on Legion and how he just nails this American accent for the show.
Yeah.
With this movie, you've got Toni Collette, an Australian actress, mm-hmm. doing an American accent of a woman who's trying to sound British because she's hanging around with British people.
Yeah, she's amazing.
She's really, really good. She's so great good. In this too.
Yeah, I love her. She's like a weird magician with her work.
She totally is.
All right.
Christian Bale's great too. He just sits there aghast with his mouth open like he does in many of his movies.
Sure, that's how he works. Where did you see this again? Where's the?
It is on Amazon Prime streaming, nice. So you can watch it on the Amazon if you have paying for the Prime.
You know why I like Amazon the most? Have you ever said this? Why?
Why is that?
I like to pause it, and it gives me all the people and info I want to read. I love that trivia stuff.
The what do they call it? The X-ray or something like that, right?
Yeah, that way I don't have to have a second screen. Basically, I can just go, wait a minute. I've seen that guy before. I hit pause. There he is. Click him. It says everything he's been in. Like, it's amazing.
I love that. Yeah.
I wish they all did that. In fact, when they don't, I find myself pausing HBO Go or Netflix or whatever and going, where's the information? It's not even here. And it changes dynamically. If there's a scene with a song in it, it will tell me who the artist is.
It tells you who the song is. It's so cool. Yeah, I do love that, and I wish all the streaming services would do that.
Amazon it's probably.
On Underground, right?
Velvet
Goldmine.
Goldmine.
I said Underground.
Underground is a band.
The band. Velvet Underground is a band that Lou Reed was fronting. That's kind of a similar.
Yeah. They're obviously playing off that in the name.
They are. Yep. As a matter of fact, David Bowie, they were originally going to use some of David Bowie's music and have a much closer tie-in with David Bowie for this movie. But he found out that the movie was loosely based on a couple of unauthorized biographies mm-hmm. of David Bowie. And he says, no, I'm not giving you any of my music. You can go F yourself.
You can take off and eat me. All right. I'm going to play a clip for mine here. This is for my movie. And it's not, he's not the biggest star in this movie, but he's in it. And I love this movie. So here's my 43 seconds of stuff.
You shouldn't have come here. This is our war, not yours.
300,000 dead and counting. That's not a war, Mr. Ito. It's genocide.
These people, they have no food. We can either help, or we can sit back and watch a country destroy itself on CNN.
Rangers, Deltas, today we go.
Name?
Blackburn.
Date of birth?
2/27/75.
I was trained to fight. You trained to fight, Sergeant?
I was trained to make a difference.
So guess what? You're going out today.
What?
It's what you wanted, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
Okay, that's him at the end, by the way.
Okay, that's, is that Black Hawk Down?
That is Black Hawk Down.
Nice.
I love Black Hawk Down. It is currently streaming on Hulu, and I watched it again, and I've seen it like 12 times, and I think Black Hawk Down is right up there with my favorite Ridley Scott movies ever directed or made. I don't know why I like it so much. It's very depressing, rather violent, and kind of shocking, and lots of things, and it's all based on a real deal and blah, blah, blah. But I think it's so masterfully done. Certainly one of my favorite war movies ever made. This is like 01, I think, is when it was made. Yeah. Is that right? Yeah, 2001. And it chronicled a mid-90s failed raid on Mogadishu, and it's a famous one. and it was, you know, under Clinton's watch, blah, blah, blah. It was like that whole time period. And everybody's in it. Everyone who's in it is awesome. Eric Bana is in it. Tom Sizemore's in it, and it is great. Although he's basically playing the Tom Sizemore role he always plays in all things.
Kind of, yeah.
It's like they said, hey, Saving Private Ryan, Tom Sizemore, can we just pick your exact character up and put him right here? And they did that. Daryl will be happy. There's barfing in it. There's a scene where they have to run a long distance and Tom Sizemore yaks on the side of the road.
So I'm like talking to you and I muted myself.
Oh, were you saying things? Oh,
is Ethan Hawke in this?
Ethan Hawke is not in this. You're thinking of the main character or the main actor whose name just left my brain.
Josh Hartnett.
Josh Hartnett. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. That's who that is.
Yeah. Billy Fichtner in there too, who we always love when we see him in a film sack movie.
Yep. He was head of the SEALs team, I think, or maybe it was the Army Rangers. I forget. Right. But anyway, it's awesome. If you've not seen Black Hawk Down, it feels like an important movie to me for whatever reason. And Sam Shepard's great in it. He's the older general dude who's good in everything. Like I mentioned, Eric Bana, William Fichtner. But then some people you'd be shocked to see. Orlando Bloom is in this. Hmm. He barely says a word and falls out of a helicopter and gets injured beyond repair like in the first 10 minutes. But he's totally in it. And it's right before his big career takeoff because it's right before the Lord of the Rings movies.
Right. Jeremy Piven.
Yep. Jeremy Piven's in it. It's weird. It's a big.
Ty Burrell. Wow.
Yeah. Big group of people. You'll recognize everyone and go, oh, these all either were great actors at the time or have all gone on to even more rad stuff.
Yeah.
Ron Eldard, who's awesome in Super 8 and other stuff. Justified. Anyway, Black Hawk Down, Hulu. Awesome. Watch it. Get it.
And you're not even bringing up Kim Coates. Ever seen Beeper?
Oh, he's a Beeper. He's barely in it, but yes, Kim Coates is in it. You're right. Oh my gosh. All the people you love are in it. There's a lot of British guys playing Americans. It's odd in some cases, including Ewan McGregor, who has a really bad accent in this.
Yeah.
He's not great at the American accent. That's not his forte.
Huh.
But I still like Ewan McGregor a lot. So there's that. Very cool. So after you watch Big Fish, go watch this and be horrified. All right, Nicole, your turn.
Well, last week we brought up Perfect Sense, and I still highly recommend that movie. Such a cool, like, sci-fi love story, I guess. Mm-hmm. Right. Have either of you watched that yet?
Still haven't seen it.
Nope, not
it's
yet.
It's on Hulu, so. Mm. And it was, Where I watched it was Netflix. I'm not sure if it's still on Netflix, but I do know it's on Hulu.
All right.
But since I had already recommended that, I found another movie that I've seen a few times, and I'll play the clip right now.
All right.
Sorry, my throat.
It's all good.
And finally, I would like to thank you for this man, Jesus. This man who pursued me to the ends of the earth, who worked so hard to make us happy. Amen.
Amen.
It just sometimes I want to cry when I think about how happy I am. You're what?
I'm gay. Gay, 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 gay. Have been as long as I can remember.
What do you think? I see a wiener.
What? There's no wiener.
Uh-huh.
It didn't take me long to realize being gay is really expensive. So I became a con man.
Cash or charge?
Charge. Credit card fraud. I was selling bad tomatoes. Anything to make a buck. Maybe it wasn't the right thing to do.
When I called all your references, well, they couldn't speak more highly of
you. I cannot speak more highly about Stephen Russell.
Maybe it wasn't the moral thing to do.
You on the lam again?
You always knew me best.
But I had no choice.
Stephen Russell, you are sentenced to 25 years.
My name is Stephen Russell.
Nice to meet you, Stephen Russell. My name is Philip Morris. This is destiny.
Oh. I know what this is.
Right there.
There's the name.
I love you, Philip Morris.
Yeah. This is the one with Jim Carrey's the other guy? Or no, no, no. Yeah.
That is Jim Carrey.
Okay,
yes,
Jim
it
Carrey.
Is.
Yeah, yeah. That's Who's a weird
woman.
Movie.
I totally recognize her voice, and she's in all of the Judd Apatow movies.
Yeah. What's her name? Leslie Mann.
Oh, Leslie Mann, yeah.
Leslie Mann. That's it. Leslie Mann.
Leslie Mann. Sorry, I'm just trying to look her up. Yep, there she is. I like Leslie Mann a lot.
Leslie Mann. What's her power?
She's married to Judd Apatow, right? Yeah.
Is she?
Yeah, she's, hold on. Yeah, she was in, I always remember her from George of the Jungle for some reason.
She's married to Judd Apatow.
Yeah, they're married.
I guess I'm not going to make the joke that, it works perfectly. She's always in Judd Apatow movies, and Judd Apatow is...
Oh, here it is. Has two daughters.
I'll stop there.
She has two daughters, Maude Apatow and Iris Apatow.
Are you guys going to say the name of the movie for people listening?
I did. I thought I did. I Love You, Philip Morris.
Yeah, wasn't that it?
Philip Morris.
Yeah.
It's a black comedy. Came out in 2009. We were going to review this on Movielicious. And there was a legal battle around it. And it took a while to release in the States. And I think it has to do with Philip Morris. I think there was the tobacco company.
Yeah, because that was a confusing thing when this movie first came out. I thought it had to do with smoking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's not. It's about Jim Carrey's right. character, who's a con man. And it's actually based off of a true story, a real life story of a con artist in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
He did multiple prison escapes. He fell in love with Ewan McGregor's character, whose name's Philip Morris. Mm-hmm. It's a weird love story.
And it's a true story, right?
Yeah.
A true story. Yeah.
Based on one, anyway.
True story of life, love, and prison breaks.
Yeah. And guys with smoker names like Philip Morris.
That's right.
Yeah. It does. If you hear the name of the title, it's impossible not to hear the smoker or the smoking right. company. So I can see why maybe it was tied up in some legal stuff. I totally kind of get that. But because, the minute I heard it, I've only seen part of this movie and I can't remember the circumstances as to why. There was some reason I only got to see part of it. And then I had to go, or the internet went out, or the TV power went off, or something happened. And this is like back in 2009, and I just don't remember. So maybe I need to get back.
It's streaming on Hulu.
Okay.
So you can watch it. I recommend it. It's funny. It's dark. It's, Jim Carrey's character, of course, is gay, and he's the first part of, you heard the Christmas music because it was, I think, set to come out around Christmas time. Mm. It's not a Christmas movie. Just want to make sure.
Yeah. That sounds about right. I love the cover where it's like a little heart together in their little jumpsuits from the prison. It's adorable.
It's a sad, sweet movie.
Sad, sweet, dark, twisted. That's my memory of what I saw, but I don't remember all of it.
Yeah, it's definitely a recommendal.
Well, there you go. Check it out on Hulu today.
Can I recommend something else for you guys?
Sure.
It's not Ewan McGregor. So while I was sick, I was poking around on Hulu. And have either of you started watching Emerald City?
No.
We started watching it and gave up halfway into the second episode because we felt it was too...
Oh, you got to keep going. You just got to keep going.
Really?
Yes, I love this show. Like, I love it.
Like, I really wanted to like it. And I really like Vincent D'Onofrio. And I was like so bummed that it was, you know, all right. It's like, oh, they're taking all the cool Wizard of Oz stuff and they're modernizing and twisting around. And some of it felt like, well, we're twisting around because we can. And there's no real point to this part. And
you just got to keep watching it. Like, for me, because I guess I was sick. I just started.
I hate Nicole. All right. How many episodes do I give it? Tell me.
It hooked me. So the first two, I kind of was right where you were, but then I went to bed and I started thinking about it and I was sick. So I started watching episode three and I think there were seven episodes out. I watched all of them. In less than 24 hours, I completed it. Mm. And by the end of it, I'm like, oh, I can't wait till Friday. I can't wait till Friday. There's still, I think, two more episodes coming out. I personally love it, adore it. I like how they have taken the concept. It reminds me of what they did with Wicked, right? Mm. Uh-huh. Where they kind of, they take the concept and they kind of build upon it, try to modernize it a little bit.
And Once Upon a Time kind of does that same thing.
Yeah, Grimm does the same thing.
Right.
So if you're fans of these kinds of shows, which I am, I adore Emerald City. Mm. I love it. It's probably one of my favorite shows right now.
Wow, okay. Brian, I didn't watch it. I remember not watching it because Brian was not poo-pooing it, but you were like, yeah, it's okay. It's, I don't know. And I kind of went, all right, well, Brian and I usually see an eye to eye on most of these things. So I didn't bother. But if you're saying I should give it a shot, maybe I'll give it a shot.
You know, do we watch it before we watch the OA or OA or whatever it's called on Netflix? Or
I would watch Emerald City over the OA.
Really? Okay.
Yes. Mm. Yeah. Mm. I mean, you have to take the old Wizard of Oz. Yes, you're in Oz and you're getting the, but you get to see kind of the backstory of the Tin Man. You get to see the backstory of the Lion. And these are not just, and magic is the ruler of this world. Mm-hmm. And you have Vincent D'Onofrio's character who's all about science. Mm. So it's science and magic and the witches. Like, I love the concept of how the witches are kind of are kept in check by Vincent D'Onofrio's character. Mm-hmm. And there's this thing called, and so there's like all these prophecies and you get to meet the Scarecrow, but he's the Scarecrow, but they're all human. So there's really no like, you know, talking animals or anything like that. It's all kind of modernized a bit. And the way that the magic works. And I love the witches, like, and Glinda, I don't know. I don't like her very much.
I'll watch it. I want to see it.
I really like it. I know a lot of people have not given it a chance and I know it's kind of, you know, because I think people have kind of written it off already. They've not given it a chance, or maybe they watched those first two episodes kind of, cause it's a lot. Those first two episodes, just trying to lay the foundation of this new world. But get at least to like three or four before you decide to poo-poo it. Cause okay. I'm right. Hooked.
I'll put it on the list.
Yeah.
Seriously.
You know, you might have sold me, but you're going to have a harder time selling Tina, but we'll see what you can do.
Yeah. We'll see how it goes.
I love Vincent D'Onofrio in it.
He's great. I like him in all things.
I know. He's the reason we stayed in as long as we did.
Mm. Well, maybe. Yeah. See it again, Brian, for the very first time.
Right. Exactly.
Nicole, always fun. Always good.
Well, hold on. Yeah. We got to pick our next topic.
Hey, no, I was that's where I was.
Kill the theme. Let's just watch.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You just want to watch a thing? You just want to see a thing?
Watch something. I'm tired.
All right. And listen, until your cold's over, let's not have a theme. Next week, it's just going to be, I don't know, whatever. Find
like
something you love.
I like that idea because it's Oscar weekend, and there's other things that I need to watch. So, cool. Yeah. I love it.
Hey, what channel's Oscars on? Do we know? Who's doing that?
ABC, I think.
Okay, good. I can do that on Vue. They don't. I don't. Jimmy I can't Kimmel get Fox is... on my PlayStation View for some reason. No Fox available for me. No Fox for me.
No Fox for you.
Yeah, no Fox for me. All right, awesome. It's whatever we want next week. It's Nicole Spag on Twitter, everybody. Follow her there. Nicole, take it easy. We'll talk to you soon. Bye now. See ya. You too. I hope we all feel better. All right. Oh, shoot. I should give Tom this link. Gosh, dang it. I keep forgetting this. This new way of doing it. I just space it and forget. Okay, there we go. All right, he should be in shortly. We'll talk about technology. We got a really cool guest on DTNS today. I'll let him explain. But
can't wait to hear.
I feel like we're going to be, how do I put this? I feel like we're going to get schooled by this person. Tom won't, because Tom's already super smart about the topic.
Right.
But
you feel like you're going to get schooled.
Oh, I am so going to get schooled with today's guest. There's no question about it. All right, here's this.
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
The man in question is Tom Merritt. Always in question. Never without his laurels.
I'm always questioning myself.
You should. Tom's good at making sure all the questions are answered before he says anything. And he does that here on Wednesdays for our tech segment here on TMS with Tom. Tom, hi, good morning, and how are you?
Good morning, Scott and Brian. I am well. How are you?
So good. So
I
good.
Am good.
Yeah. Other than this
we
dumb cold.
We are talking like we are in The Lobster.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Not, oh, The Lobster. Yeah. How did that
a
go
movie
for
I'm
you?
Glad I watched, but mm-hmm. didn't enjoy watching.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. That's a very good, that succinctly nails that movie very yeah. well.
That's my review.
I feel like I need to see it, finally, now that everyone's talking about it all the time.
I give it a digested tomato.
Ooh. Don't want to know more about that. Tom comes on, talks about the tech stories of the day. Of course, later today, DTNS will happen. We'll talk about our rad guest here in a minute. But, Tom, what's happening in the world? What's going on?
Not much.
Yeah. Typical Wednesday.
Okay.
Great.
No, honestly, it's one of those slow news days because in technology anyway, because Mobile World Congress is coming up, and I feel like a lot of folks are holding their press releases for that. We'll also get a bunch of earnings reports this afternoon, so you're not going to get any news out of HP or Tesla, but a couple of interesting things that are happening, little tidbits, is Verizon is testing more 5G in 11 different cities around the U.S. Mm-hmm. Microsoft in Australia at one of their conferences announced a second update coming after the creators update. So we're probably going to get the creators update in April. There will be a second update to Windows 10 coming by the end of the year. And then a study in eLife Tuesday described three patients who were paralyzed who allowed a chip to be implanted in their motor cortex so they could control a cursor with their mind.
Whoa.
Yeah. They each had to train it separately. And it's a really interesting article on IEEE.org about the different approaches that the people use to kind of figure out how to move the cursor and get the brain waves to be detected the right way. Mm-hmm. But one of them could type up to 8 words a minute with the system. And think about that. Like, there's a cursor on a screen that you have to think to move, mm-hmm. and highlight particular letters and turn it into words.
Mm, man, that kind of stuff just fascinates the crap out of me, and it changes so many. Like, the applications are huge, and it's not just, you know, your mind immediately goes to, oh, well, people who are deaf or maybe somebody with Lou Gehrig's disease would find this a great way to communicate or whatever. I mean, you can
sure,
you
yeah,
can do a lot, but man, it's so much further than that. There's so many things and applications you could do with this. It's crazy.
Hmm. Yeah, and I remember several years back when the first studies came out doing this with monkeys, mm-hmm. and you're like, oh, that's amazing, but it'll take years for it to show up in humans. And now it's, you know, showing up in humans. And now the caveat is, well, it'll take years to turn this into a practical system because you have to have you have to have brain surgery, right? This is not something we're all necessarily going to get. But you also have to wear a headset and it's connected by wires to a computer. They do think they can make that smaller and wireless, at which point I think they said something like 30% of people who have paralysis that they surveyed said, yeah, if it got to be wireless, I'd take the risk. I would have the brain surgery in order to get that function.
Wow. Yeah, that's pretty incredible. Is it going to end up being like, I feel like we did this with voice technology where for a long time in the 90s, it was like, hey, Microsoft's got some new talk to your computer and it'll type stuff deal going. And it was always kind of terrible and never accurate and slow and all that.
Yeah, no, I used that on Windows 3.1.
Yeah, what was that called? It was like Dragon something or?
Well, Dragon, naturally speaking, came along later and actually made it useful. But I can't remember the one that I was using where you basically just had to say tab.
Right.
Select. Program manager.
Yep. I remember that. And it seemed at the time like magic, but broken magic. And now voice stuff, as much as we like to tease about the different voice assistants and stuff, it's pretty damn good. Like what it does is like straight up what we were promised all those years ago. VR is the same thing. We finally had a place where VR, for all of its downsides, it works. It freaking works. It's expensive, but it does the thing that we always were told it could do, but never did when we bought crappy headsets in the 90s and early aughts. So, you know, tablets in 2002 couldn't hack it, but eventually they did. So is this what this is for us? Are we entering a magic but broken phase for this technology?
Magic but broken, my autobiography. I think you're hitting on something that's really interesting about the patterns of stuff, because you think about the voice recognition. In those Dragon Naturally Speaking era, it was billed as, hey, if you've got RSI or you have trouble typing, you can use this to speak and have your words show up. And in fact, people who are paralyzed could use this to dictate stuff. Mm-hmm. It doesn't control a cursor, right? But it's always starts as an accessibility in these kinds of technologies, in some technologies. And then when it gets better, expands to others. And you're right. Like we forget, we complain, like when I talk to Siri in natural language, she doesn't always understand what I'm saying, or I have to know exactly what words to say, but we stopped complaining about she doesn't understand the words. Mm. It's the syntax, right? We've made a big leap there where it's not that I say something and she gets it wrong. It's I say something and maybe the sentence isn't understood. And that's a huge step forward. So yeah, it's interesting to think, and this is probably 10 or more years away, right? Mm-hmm. But this is being used right now because it requires brain surgery and some big heavy equipment. It gets smaller, it gets easier to implant. Maybe it becomes external, or maybe just a subdural implant. It doesn't have to go all the way into the brain, so it's less risky. Or maybe they come up with some new way of doing brain surgery that's safer. And this is what I know you and I have joked about this is, you know, when we're old and all the kids are like, come on, it's just minor brain surgery. Everybody's doing it.
It's like rocket science.
Yeah, this could be one of those things.
Yeah, it does feel that way. Well, that's cool. I'm sure that we'll get a chance to talk about some of that. But today's like, I feel like it's education day for Scott. Our guest today is going to blow my mind.
Yeah, yeah. We were trying to have him on a couple of weeks ago, and unfortunately he had to reschedule. But we're excited to have Mr. Wolpert from IBM on. He's one of their experts in blockchain, and we've made a good attempt at explaining what the blockchain is. So what we're going to do today is have somebody who's out there implementing it tell us what it's good for. Right. And so, you know, the reason blockchain is in everybody's mind is they hear it associated with Bitcoin. So we did that episode where we're like, it's kind of like a public ledger, and we should recommend people go back and maybe watch or listen to that if you still want to understand exactly what it is. But it still raised the question of like, OK, I get it. It's a public ledger. What can you do with it besides Bitcoin? Because I still don't understand Bitcoin, maybe.
Yeah, well, I think it's going to be enlightening. For me, especially, because I don't know this stuff. Every time Tom explains some of it, I get a little glimpse, right?
Eyes glaze over.
Yeah, I just kind of go, like, he'll start and I'll get a taste of it. And I'll go, oh, yeah, and then I'll go.
Yeah. Now that's why Scott invites me to all his parties.
Yeah. It's Tom, he's like a weird vending machine. You give him a buck and he'll tell you something about Bitcoin.
So a Bitcoin room clears.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited for this and stoked to have it happen. 2:30 p.m. Mountain Time is when that happens, folks. Catch all the details over at dailytechnewsshow.com. Tom, anything else going on? I know your book's out, or at least it's happening, right? It's happening.
Yeah, so the InkShares backers are getting their copies. Thanks to everybody who's putting them up on Twitter. It's great to see everybody unboxing them and taking a photo and getting excited. I am told the ebooks, some of them were delivered and the rest are going out to backers on Friday. So keep an eye out for an email from InkShares.com. And if you have any questions about it, be sure to ask InkShares. They're happy to help clear up everything. I know folks are asking me, and all I do is go, InkShares? What's up with that? So, yeah, but if you haven't bought it yet, you can pre-order it all kinds of places. The UCLA Student Union just bought a copy that will be on the shelf there. Mm. I mean, that's just one copy, so don't everybody go there. You can also get it at Amazon, places right. like that. But also, if you're like, what are you talking about? It's a novel. It's about a time-traveling time pilot who has to save the universe, and he's got a really hard choice.
It seems like good reading to me, so I'm excited to read my copy. You people should be as well.
Early reviews are good.
Yep, they are, actually. So check it out and help Tom become the great science fiction author he was meant to be one day.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. We're going to be doing a meetup on March 18th at Book Soup here in Los Angeles. So more details on that coming.
I like that name. Is that a little mom and poppy kind of place, Book Soup?
Yeah, it's an independent. I don't even think it's that little, but yeah, it's an indie. And
I like those kind of places.
They have like real authors do events there.
Really? So. Like Tom Merritt, a real author in our midst, everybody. All right. We'll see you later today for Daily Tech News Show. It's Tom Merritt, everybody. Stay out of trouble. We'll see you then, sir.
Talk to you later.
Bye now.
See you, Tom.
All right, Brian.
Good. Very good. Very good.
Very good indeed. That's going to be the show for us today, and I would like to thank everybody who's helped support this show. Oh, before we do that, Coverville. What's going on today on Coverville?
I'm so glad you saw that. Coverville today is a triple play, so... all celebrating birthdays right around this time are, well, would have been Kurt Cobain from Nirvana, as well as Kesha and Billy Joe Armstrong from Green Day. And you're saying to yourself, okay, well, Green Day and Nirvana kind of go together, but I don't know about Kesha. Mm. Well, when you work with covers, you can make any show. You can make any two artists go together. So listen for covers by Scott Bradley's Postmodern Jukebox, Walk Off the Earth, Hula Hi-Fi, the Picanon series, Puffy from Japan. Lots of great stuff today on Coverville, celebrating all three of those birthdays. Today, 1 p.m. Mountain Time, the only time zone that matters, coverville.com/live.
There you go. You got your afternoon programming. Just watch that and then roll right into Daily Tech News Show.
Exactly. There's no better way to fill your afternoon.
I agree. Patreon.com/TMS is how you support this show. We thank everyone who has and encourage anyone who hasn't to consider it. It's not like you got to go there and throw down huge amounts of money. Imagine if you only paid $1 a month or something. If everyone did that, it would put us in so great a place. We'd be able to donate so much more time to TMS. As it stands right now, we really, really appreciate those who do help us, though. So thank you guys so much. We're streamed every day live, not only at frogpants.com/live, but also alphageekradio.com for the audio stream. Big thanks to them and Todd over there. I haven't talked to Todd in a long time. I think he's doing all right. His stuff's working, so.
I know. I haven't talked to him in a while either. It's
been ages.
I hope he's doing okay.
Need to check in with him. Maybe I'll do that today. Frogpants.com/TMS for all your linky needs. That's got our email address, our contact details, and our Twitter accounts, which by coincidence are Morning Stream, Scott Johnson, and Coverville. It's going to do it for us. I think we'll go out with music, though. What do you got there, buddy boy?
I have got a song that's not a request. There was no request for today. And I said, well, I'm going to play a song that got cut from today's Coverville because I already had another version of this song. But I really like this one. So it's like, oh, perfect. I'll play it on TMS. This is from a Japanese Nirvana tribute called Nevermind Tribute.
Mm.
Came out in 2012. Picked this up when I was out there a couple of years ago. And it is a cover of Come As You Are by a ska band. Japanese ska is huge out there. This is by a band called Backdrop Bomb, and it is a cover of Nirvana's Come As You Are.
All right, here it is. We'll see you guys tomorrow. It's Thursday, and the therapy and all that. Wendy should be back, I think. I better check in, make sure she is back from her trip.
Yeah,
I think
no
so.
Kidding. I'm still skiing.
Yeah, still maybe skiing, but either way, we'll be here for you. We'll see you then.
Boy, me tell you, life is not Russian, not first. This is BDB and you and me. Run it! Run it! Yeah!
jeez.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.
Yeah.